It's not all bad news for the Braves, because that's all it has been for the last 6 weeks. He's Lindsey Crosby. I'm Ben Taylor. It's Braves Today, all brought to you by Plains Coffee. Go to plainscoffee.com, promo code Braves, you're 10% off. Lindsey, some of the best news that probably could have come out of the room that we like to call the pitcher's clubhouse or the bullpen would be Ronaldo Lopez, who is listed as day-to-day, and it's the first time haven't seen, I swear, a player missing that there's not an IL attached to their name in some way or another.
Yeah. I mean, technically, Austin Riley never went on the IL with his issue, right? He just missed like 3 weeks. No. Okay. So back up a little bit. Ronaldo Lopez leaves Sunday's game with forearm tightness. That's obviously terrifying because that is one of the common initial diagnoses you get before a dude ends up needing Tommy John surgery. But He flies back to Atlanta. He gets MRIs. He gets testing. He visits with team doctors. Brian Snitker told the media today that the MRI came back clean, right? They don't see any sort of significant issues. They don't think he's going to go on the injured list. They don't even think they're going to shut him down. They're going to let him throw his between starts bullpen like normal. And they said it's only if it keeps bothering him in subsequent days would they think about shutting him down. So it is literally the best case scenario that you could have with a guy leaving to start from a forearm strain, especially a guy who is over his innings workload in the previous seasons. So he told the team, apparently, according to Snitker, he told the team today that he felt better than he did on Sunday. So yeah. Like, they're obviously going to check and see how he feels on Tuesday and how he feels on Wednesday. But they honestly said they don't, like Snitker said, as of now, the plans to not even put him on the injured list. Now, there's a conversation to be had about, is it worth putting him on the injured list just to kind of, you know, give him a chance to skip a start or two, minimize his innings a little bit. But a growing thing in baseball now is realizing that shutting guys down and then ramping them back up is a prime opportunity to have some sort of injury, right? Mm-hmm. And if you think about anecdotally, when do you see a lot of pitchers get hurt? They get hurt in spring training. They get hurt right after the season starts because they went from not throwing or not throwing a lot over the offseason to throwing a lot in spring, or they go from throwing at 90% effort in spring to 100% on opening day. So I get the idea of don't shut him down. Let just monitor, see how he feels. And as of now, have him on track to make his next start with the understanding of you have plenty of depth. If you need to put him on the IL or skip it, you can backdate those up to, I think it's up to 3 days, and it has to be the day after he played. So you can backdate it all the way to Monday. So you don't have to decide until Thursday, are you going to put Lopez on the IL or not?
So a couple of questions that I have regarding this. Number one goes back to the All-Star break and what John Smoltz kept saying during the game of the All-Star game, where he had referenced numerous times, he doesn't like when starting pitchers pitch in the All-Star game because if they haven't done it before, they give a little extra effort and maybe a little oomph because they know they're only out there for an inning. So you see velocity go up. You see, you even saw Skeens. Skeens, you know, he hit triple digits a couple of times, you know, and it worried. That's who they were worried about. Let's call it what it is. Right. They weren't worried about Ronaldo Lopez when he came in. They were worried about Paul Skeens hurting his arm during the All-Star game. And so, but when he brought that up, I thought, did Lopez give a little extra with only one inning of work in the All-Star game? And maybe that led to this with a possible strain.
Yeah. He hasn't said anything like that. We don't know for a fact. I will point out though, that he spent a couple seasons as a reliever in major in a good one in baseball. And so if there's anybody I think that properly understands how to like how much to ramp up for a single inning versus an entire outing, it's Ronaldo Lopez. And other than, I think, his very first batter of the game on Sunday, all of his metrics, his spin rates, his velocities, everything looked the same as normal. He just had a little bit of soreness and discomfort in his arm. And so I think it might be something kind of like Max Fried, where he just had a little bit of soreness and discomfort. And, you know, it lingered longer. It lingered more than he wanted it to. From what I understand, He didn't tell the team. Marcelo Zuna told the team. Marcelo Zuna went to Snitker and said, hey, he's in the tunnel right now. He mentioned that his arm's a little sore. And so that's what prompted them to go talk to him and eventually pull him from the game. So shout out Marcelo Zuna for one, dudes talking to him, and two, him being willing to go and relay that message to the coaching staff when every pitcher knows when they hear that, they're going to pull you from the game. So
yeah.
Kudos to Ozuna for understanding what's important there. But we don't know for a fact the All-Star Game did it, but based on his history as a reliever and his experience doing that, I'm gonna lean on the side of no, with the caveat of that may have been what happened to Max Fried. So it's totally reasonable to think that that could have been maybe part of it, but we'll just never know.
So you almost answered part two of my question, which is, are we overreacting a little bit, and is the staff overreacting a little bit because of the Fried situation, the Strider situation, the Acuna situation, the Albies situation? Should I go on about everybody else this missed time? You know, an abscess tooth situation, whereas as soon as Ozuna went to Snitker, they were like, all right, shut it down. We're just not even going down this road. We're going ahead. And because he, you're right. You've made a good point there. His metrics, his velocity, his spin rate, everything was fine through the third inning, which is when he came out. After he pitched the third, he came out, and it kind of shocked everybody. You heard the play-by-play guys sitting there going, we don't have any updates. We don't know why he's not.
Is he okay?
Yeah. So you could tell that it was a sudden. Ozuna went to Snitker. Snitker called the bullpen. Bullpen gets up. Everybody starts moving. And next thing you know, we all have questions.
Yeah. Having not directly spoken to Brian Snitker about this, I obviously can't speak for him. But if I'm in his situation, think about some of the reports we heard about some of these other guys. Spencer Strider mentioned his elbow was hurting. He pitched through it until it got to the point in that second start against Arizona where he couldn't anymore. Max Fried had the discomfort in his elbow after warmups at the All-Star game. He pitched through it, and then it was still hurting when he came in on Friday. So at this point, it kind of feels like, and this is really professional athletes in general, but specifically with these Braves pitchers, protect them from themselves. What they want to be out there. And they're going to do everything in their power to stay on the field and play. That is the baseball player mentality. We saw Freddie Freeman play through minor injuries. We've seen Matt Olson be nicked up and banged up and play through minor injuries. Just today, we saw the backup catcher for the Orioles break his nose from a fastball and stay in the game with a bloody jersey and wads of tissue shoved in his nose. So, I mean, these ball players want to stay out there. And the right thing to do in that situation, Ozuna was right to say something to the coaching staff.
Yep.
And the coaching staff was right to take him out. And hopefully, taking him out right away versus letting him finish the outing, hopefully that's going to lead to this not being as bad as it could have been. Obviously, we'll never know. But imagine if it's hurting and he goes out and pitches three more innings. Mm-hmm. I mean, it very well he could have made that worse or aggravated it. So, I mean, I think this was handled the right way by just about everybody. They pulled him from the game. They told us in the media exactly what they knew at the time. This is precautionary, forearm tightness. They sent him for more testing and evaluation, gave him some treatment, saw how he was, told us they think he's okay. I think it's been handled the right way all around.
He should just go ahead and sit in the dugout and sip on some Plains coffee. You can do that by going to plainscoffee.com. Promo code Braves. Get your 10% off coffee. If he's not a coffee guy, if he's a tea guy or a flavored coffee guy, won't roast the beans until Lopez makes that order. And he will be shipped directly to his door as he sits and gets over his forearm tenderness as well as tightness that takes place.
I had a nice little short conversation with Charlie Morton in spring training about coffee. There's a couple of big coffee guys in that clubhouse. He had an espresso machine at spring training. So he was telling me where to go in Northport to find some drinks. Like there are some coffee guys in that clubhouse. I would not be surprised if Renato Lopez is watching this and he's like, I need some Plains coffee. Let's get some.
Well, you can get that 10% off by entering the promo code Braves. It is that easy. All right, so I guess the next point that I wanted to get to was it is trade deadline time, and the reason I say that is because by the time this goes up and by the time some people may listen in the morning,
less than 24 hours.
Yeah, there are only a few hours left to be able to sign something. So some best-case scenarios, you and I were talking ahead of time. This is not confirmed nor denied, but you were telling me that there's a decent case scenario to come out of Colorado.
Yeah. Listen, a lot of the low-hanging fruit in this trade deadline is off the board, right? Mm-hmm. Tommy Pham's a guy we talked about. I've talked about him plenty as a guy who could fit in Atlanta. He's off the board. He's now with the Cardinals. Like, again, Lane Thomas of the Nationals, he got moved today.
Yep.
Eric Fetty, the pitcher of the White Sox, he got moved. The reporting is that Atlanta's looking for a bat, a corner outfield bat. Mm-hmm. And Atlanta's looking for a starting pitcher. And so I've been talking about this, I think, for weeks now. But it feels like your situation here, your scenario here, is to go out to Colorado, an organization you've done plenty of stuff with in the past, and say, hey, we want Charlie Blackmon and we want Cal Quantrill. Charlie Blackman's a rental. He's under control for the rest of this season. Yes, he's a little bit older. He's 38 years old. He turned 38 July 1st. But he's also batting .286 against lefties and is at least competent defensively in the corner outfield.
Right.
He's led off before. Think about the other day when you faced a lefty for the Mets. You had a new leadoff hitter, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is something here. He can lead off against lefties. If you want to let him play every day against righties until you have Michael Harris back, you can do that. You can platoon him if you want to. But it feels like that's a good, you get a veteran, you get a guy who you're comfortable leading off, he can play decent corner outfield defense, and again, he's batting .286 against lefties.
Right.
Like, it's not a bad scenario. And then package that with Cal Quantrill, who is under control for 2025. That's an important scenario because Max Fried's a free agent. He may not be back. Charlie Morton is both a free agent and old. He may not be back. He may be retired. He turns 41, I think, a week after the World Series ends, right?
Yep.
And then you don't know where Spencer Strider will be on opening day.
Correct.
Like, we have no idea if he's going to be ready or not, or if he is ready, how good, how effective he can be. So getting a guy like Cal Quantrill, who has not been bad, despite playing in Colorado, it's got a 4.09 ERA, which I feel like is pretty not bad for a guy in Colorado.
It's a 2.89 outside of Colorado.
Yeah, like it's a little bit better outside of Colorado, right?
Yeah.
He has team control for next year. You know, just like Chris Sale, he has that edge. Ask Reese McGuire if you don't believe on the edge. And neither one of them should cost you that much in either salary or prospect return going to Colorado. So, again, a lot of your low-hanging fruit options in this trade deadline class are gone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your options, if you want a guy, you have to either pay for a lot of money or a lot of trade capital for a guy like Eloy Jimenez or Luis Robert of the White Sox, guys like that. Brent Rooker of the A's, they don't want to trade him. So this feels to me like it's probably the best you're going to be able to do without having to give away prospects that are going to hurt you to lose. Because the way this season has gone, is anybody going to be shocked if Atlanta doesn't make a World Series run this year? Like, nobody's going to be shocked, right? And so rather than go all in and trade all of your best prospects to make a run, be strategic with it. You can trade some lower level prospects in this, and you can get somebody who will help this year in Blackmon, and then you'll get somebody this year and next year in Quantrill.
And you and I have talked about before, the Braves love to bring him home. Blackmon went to Georgia Tech, North Gwinnett High School. Yes, he was born in Texas, but parents, I guess, moved and took him to the Atlanta area. So he is very familiar with that particular location. He's got the beard. He's got the look, kind of guy that salt of the earth type guy that the Braves like to have. So it makes a lot of sense, especially with that 280 plus batting average against lefties.
Yeah. Cal Quantrill's from Canada. Doesn't quite work the same.
No, he doesn't.
But
He but just gets again, up with a Southern guy coming over. I hate it for him.
Yeah. But, I mean, like you said, Blackman's, you know, he went to Georgia Tech. He's right. familiar with the city. He's not going to recognize it compared to when he was in Georgia Tech. No. But it makes sense. Bring him home. And if he wants to play one more season, you would have the ability to then have an outfield, a corner outfielder that you could mm-hmm. use while Ronald Acuña Jr. was potentially DHing to start the year if you need him to. And then you could swap them if you decided later on Acuña was ready for the field again. So he even gives you versatility for next season as well. It feels like it's a pretty obvious move. I just don't know what the trade compensation would take.
We shall see. Less than 24 hours away. It's all been brought to you by Plains Coffee. Go to plainscoffee.com. Promo code Braves, 10% off. Also, Lindsay and the boys have got tons of stuff going up by the hour at BravesToday.com. Just about anytime something drops, there is an article that gets posted with some possible scenarios. So if you want to follow it, that's the best place to do so at BravesToday.com. Lindsay, as always, I greatly appreciate your time, sir.
Thanks, buddy.